We're looking at attributes of God. This morning is one. I'm going to see if anybody knows what this word means here. The immutability of God. Anyone know what immutability means? That's right. Unchanging. And we'll come back to that in a moment and kind of break that word down. But very quickly, I want to do a very quick review of what we've covered so far over the last couple months when we started this, talking about different attributes, key attributes of God, and how really important it is in our life. Our view of God directs our worship. In fact, later this morning, we'll be talking a little bit about that. Our view of God determines our direction in life, and our view of God ultimately determines our final destiny, our eternal destiny. So important. And very quickly, we've covered things like God is incomprehensible. We'll never fully be able to understand everything about God, and that is okay. That means He's a bigger God than we are, right? God is a Trinity, the self-existence of God, the self-sufficiency of God. He doesn't need anything to keep Him going. The eternality of God always was and always will be. And then God is infinite was last week. And this week, the immutability of God, or we could say it this way, God is unchanging, and it comes from the verse in Malachi, which we'll put up here later as well, and the Lord does not change. Regarding God's infinite nature, whatever God is and all that He is without limit. We looked at that last week. There are no degrees in God, right? We don't measure God. Remember that last week? Hopefully that was helpful, that God's grace, that's why we can say God's grace is sufficient, because it's not like He has a quota. Well, I used up my grace for you today. There's no more for you, right? It's just without limit. And when you begin to understand that God has no limits, it really ought to change how we come to God and make requests of Him. Okay, so the fact that God is unchanging, what does that word mean, immutable? And I think if we break it down, you'll understand the root word. You see the root word in the word immutable? And what we have a word that's very common. Mutation, right? What is a mutation? A change. So if it's immutable, that would be the opposite. That means it cannot change. I think it helps us to understand where our words come from, what they mean. So God is unchanging. In what ways is God immutable or unchanging? For example, God can't get any better. Now just stop to think about that for a moment. What does that mean? Pardon? He's already perfect. He can't get any better, right? God is not improving. He has nothing to improve. Now what does that mean for you? Day to day. Okay, we're going to cover that. That is so true. Yes, we are unlike God. Okay, you know, yeah, there's hope for me. There's help for me available. God is this absolutely perfect, unchanging being. He has everything I need. He can't even get any better. It's impossible. I'm going to put up a corollary statement here. He can't get any worse either. And I'm trying to bring this down to make this practical to us. God can't get any better, but folks, also think of the opposite. God can't get any worse. Okay, how does that encourage you? How does that help you this week? Yeah, God is my solid rock. He's dependable. God is trustworthy. God can't do anything that's wrong. I mean, he can't get any worse. He cannot mess up. He can't fail. God, in His perfections, is unchanging. I'm going to put up this statement. God can't learn anything or become wiser. Do you believe that? Is that true? Do you know there's nothing for God to learn? And will we just pause to think about our great God? You know, don't you sometimes do this? Maybe I'm just weird, but do you do this where you think, oh, you know, if God, if You would just do this, I have this plan all figured out in my mind. And if God would do this, and this would happen, and God would do this, well, everything would work out pretty good. Okay, some of you are kind of, you know, nodding, like you do that too. So I'm not the only one. You know, do we really think that we can outthink God in these areas? That something didn't occur to God? Oh, you know, he's probably up there in heaven thinking, oh, I'm glad I have so-and-so down there to remind me. You know, what would I do without his planning help? God knows everything, and he's got nothing to learn. He cannot become wiser. Listen to these verses in Isaiah 40. By the way, Isaiah 40 is just one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It's one of those golden chapters. It says here, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? What does that mean? What's he asking? That's right. That's right. God doesn't have advisors, right? God doesn't have a board of advisors he seeks wisdom from. He says, who's directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who, as his counselor, has informed him? With whom did he consult? And who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? And the answer, those are all rhetorical questions. The answer to all of them is, well, nobody, of course. God is God. And God doesn't have counselors. God doesn't seek wisdom from other people. There is nothing that God can learn or improve on. And I just also like the opposite of that. He can't get any worse either. God is unchanging. That's the idea. We're looking at that today. God is unchanging. Now, Psalm 147, verse 5. Let me put this up here. God is great as our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Okay. So quite a few questions, and you can answer these out loud. What would it mean if God could get better? Okay, sorry, someone else? Okay, that he's not God, that he's not good enough. If God could get better, then we would say, yeah, he's not good enough right now, he's not perfect. And we would say, well then, if he could get better, then he must be lacking something right now. He's no different than us, that's a good point too. Okay, what would it mean if God could learn something? Okay, good. He's not all-knowing. And I'm gonna put, you know what? I should have put that on there. He wouldn't be perfect, we could say again. He'd be liable to make a mistake. I mean, if there's something God didn't know, if there's even one thing God didn't know, then we really couldn't trust him completely. He could make a mistake. Our problem is that we do forget that God knows all and is all-powerful. Because many times in our lives we aren't trusting him. It's not because of a lack in God. It's due to a lack in our thinking. God isn't the one that's failing. We do. God can't learn anything. One more question here. What would it mean if God could get worse? If God could forget, if God could grow feeble, if God could wear out? And again, I'll start by saying that he wouldn't be perfect. And, as Audrey mentioned earlier, he wouldn't be all-knowing. He would not be all-powerful. If there was any kind of deterioration in God, if there was any area that he could grow feeble or weak in, as somebody said, he wouldn't be God. I'm going to come to that. Yeah, we'll look at that. Great point. Yeah, we'll come back to that. He mentioned the Mormon doctrine. God is not growing. God is not changing or improving in any way. Folks, we really have to try our hardest to wrap our head around this, because practically speaking, this helps us trust God better. We ought to have a complete and utter confidence in what God is doing, that even when tragedy strikes, we know, wait a minute, is God all-knowing? Is he all-powerful? Could he have done something different if he wanted? Yes. And is he ever going to change in those areas? No. So I have to trust him. Just like thousands of years ago, Abraham trusted him, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, just like Moses trusted him, just like David trusted him, just like you fill in the blank. He's the same God that carried those men through in women. He's the same God. Same greatness. Same power. We have to trust the same unchanging God. A.W. Tozer said, God cannot change for the better. Since He is perfectly holy, He has never been less holy than He is now and can never be holier than He is and has always been. Neither can God change for the worse. Any deterioration within the unspeakably holy nature of God is impossible. God is simply not going to change. All right, I got statements here, and you're going to get this one right away. Truth or error? I want you to ponder these statements and let me know if this is true or false. Okay? As man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may become. Who says that's a false statement? False statement. Who says that's a true statement? Or who says, I'm not really sure. Sounds good. Don't raise your hand. Okay. We looked at this last week, actually, so hopefully it's still fresh in your mind. But this is what Mormons believe. I'm not putting up just a far, far out there statement that nobody thinks of. No, this is actually what many people in the world believe. Mormons are an example. As a whole group, they're taught this. They believe this. They believe that God is developing, God is growing, God is changing. They believe that God used to be like man is, and man is someday going to be like God is now. God grew into Godhead, what He is, and He's still advancing. So that is absolutely false. 100% false. Okay, let me put up another statement. Truth or error? All that God is, He has always been. And all that He has been and is, He will ever be. What do you think? Okay, seeing lots of people nodding their heads. That's a true statement. That's one that we can support scripturally. Anybody know a verse that might be able to go along with that? The beginning and the end, the first and the last, okay. Yeah, anyone else? Yeah, that's exactly right. Malachi 3:6. I believe I have that one on a slide eventually. How about this one? Also, I think this will be familiar to many of you. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same. I like this statement here. A.W. Tozer said, He Himself is outside of the law of mutation and is unaffected by any changes that occur in the universe. So again, to stop and think about that, nothing that happens in this world affects God. Did you think about that? Have you ever considered that? All that's going on in the world, all the blasphemy, heresy, all the attacks against God. I mean, just look at North America alone. Listen to North American news, forget even the rest of the world. And in what ways would you say God is being attacked today in our society? Okay, all of the very unbiblical evolutionary mentality behind climate change and all that. All right, what else? Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. How is God being attacked? All right. Absolutely. Born in the wrong skin, born the wrong gender. I'm really a male trapped in a female body or vice versa. All that. Do you believe that's an attack against God? Absolutely it is. Throw homosexuality in there as well, right? Because it says right there in Romans, they did this because they rejected God. It is absolutely an attack against God. What else? Okay. People trying to reject the whole idea of absolute truth. We looked at that on our Wednesday. We're actually dealing with that in our Wednesday nights. And so come back this coming Wednesday night. We're going to talk more about that. But people say there is no absolute truth. You can't know what is true or not. truth is relative. What's true for you, what's true for me may not be true for you. What's true for you may not be true for me. Truth is based on how you grew up. That is absolutely an attack against God, because there is truth. God is true. God's word is true. Jesus himself says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Folks, there is truth. There is solid, objective truth that we can bank on, that is rock solid. For anybody to say otherwise is actually attacking God. All right, now just think of all those, and there's many, many more. Those are attacks against God. Does any one of those affect God? Does any one of those attacks cause him to tremble a little? Does God wring his hands? Oh, what will I do? Is God shaken, disturbed? All the forces in the world could unite. All humankind could unite against God. And it would do nothing to God. That's our great God. Go ahead, you were going to say something. Yeah, that's so true. People can say what they want. It doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change reality. Okay. Stein, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, that is true. The first verse in the Bible is so comprehensive. It's really an amazing opening to the Bible, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And, you know, I've said before, others have said before me, if somebody can believe the very first verse of the Bible, then you can believe all the rest of it without any problem either, right? All you need is just exercise faith. Can you believe that God is and that he created it all? And everything else is nothing after that. Why is it a problem to believe that Jesus walked on water or, you know, raised people from the dead? It's not it. But there are people who want to deny it. Anyway, that's kind of a rabbit trail. Believe the first verse of the Bible. Okay, so all of this, James 1:17. Here's another verse about God's unchanging nature. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God just never changes. And James says there's not even any variation. Nothing altering in how God operates. Okay, God never changes. A second and final point here this morning on this topic. Man can't avoid change. Mr. Martin said earlier, we are so unlike God. We talk about the fact that God never changes. Well, we can't avoid change. From the time we're born, really, from the time we're conceived, all we do is change in many ways, right? Okay, we'll get into that in a little bit. Start with a statement from Tozer. Nothing that God has ever said about himself will be modified. The immutability of God appears in its most perfect beauty when viewed against the mutability of men. In God, no change is possible. In men, change is impossible to escape. And that's so true. When we compare ourselves to God, wow, we are so unlike him. And it just highlights the unchangeableness of God contrasted with us. In what ways do we change? We grow. We age. Those are different things, right? We grow, we age. In many ways, yeah, in many ways we desire change because we recognize we need it to change. And I think somebody was making that point earlier. It gives us hope that we can change to be more, at least I think that maybe that's where that person was going with that. We can change to be more like God, the fact that we are able to. Yeah. How else do people change? Well, I'll just start listing some things, but we come into being. God never came into being. Our bodies develop, grow, and change. How about this? We learn and we forget. Anyone ever forgot anything? Every now and then, right? becoming more and more common. Forgotten how much we forget. But God never does. We get diseases. God is unaffected by diseases. We grow tired. We grow old. We grow weak. We eventually die. God never does. But there's other ways that we change. And look at this. We change opinions, attitudes, political positions sometimes, theological positions. That certainly can happen. We change our tastes, behaviors. We change in all sorts of ways. We change. On a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, we are changing. We're constantly changing. As Mr. Tozer said, it's impossible for men not to change. We can't help but change. And you look at that list, and nothing on there applies to God. Not one thing. God never learns. God never forgets. God never gets diseases, grows tired, old, or weak. God never dies. God doesn't change his opinions or attitudes or theological position. God doesn't change. Okay. There was a little humorous little story just to highlight, you know, man's change, how drastic it is. You know, a little boy learned in a Sunday school class that when somebody dies, he's buried and his body returns back to dust. And so when he got home, he looked under his bed and his eyes opened up and he ran to his mom and says, "Mom, I just looked under my bed and somebody's either coming or going." People change pretty drastically. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord in the Spirit." We're all being transformed. So spiritually, how does man change? Well, the big one would be we go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. That's the big one. Aside from that, though, the Bible even describes the process of man's change. Give me a Bible verse or just kind of paraphrase. What's the pattern? What's the biblical process of change? What does that look like? Good. So that's in Titus 3:5, right? Is that in Titus? Oh, Romans 12. Okay, Romans 12. Yeah. Yeah, right. "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. First Corinthians, I believe. And so you're growing, you're developing, you're learning, and we change, we put off, we renew our minds. Again, similar to the renewing Romans 12:2. So we have this idea of becoming more and more like Christ as we put off the old man behavior, we put on new creature attitudes. Tozer said, "For human beings, the whole possibility of redemption lies in their ability to change." Again, that hope that someone spoke of earlier. The fact that man can change gives us hope. There are people in the world that are hopeless. There are people in the world who only look at their present condition and they say, "It's hopeless. I'm hopeless. It's a waste." People look in despair. People want to contemplate suicide, ending their lives. And many do. And many times it's because they have a feeling of utter hopelessness. The fact that we can change, there's a very positive side to that. You're not stuck the way you are. Isn't that good? Ladies, your husband isn't stuck the way he is. It is possible for him to change. And vice versa. Okay? We're not stuck the way we are. There is hope. We can change. And we ought to change. We ought not be content to stay the way we are spiritually. we ought to be desiring to grow. So there is great hope in knowing that we can change. Let's see here. Okay, quickly, we're almost done, almost out of time too. God never changes. I'm going to go through several attributes of God. We're going to start here with grace. So how do these specific unchanging attributes bring us health or comfort? Knowing that this in this area God never changes, how could that really help us? Okay. What if God only had grace for, you know, so long and there just wasn't enough when it came to us? We'd be truly doomed. I look at it this way. You know, can I ever, how do you word this? Can I ever out-sin God's grace? Right? Is God's grace sufficient for all your sin? Yeah, it is. And that is, yeah, 1 John. That's right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it a comfort to know that no matter how much I've sinned, God is able to forgive me? And again, there's the hope element when you're talking to somebody who's struggling with that. Oh, I've sinned too much. I've sinned too badly. You know, no, you know what? God can forgive you. What else? Anybody? Let me put up another one. We got to go through these quickly. Mercy. How does this help you, knowing that God's mercy never changes? I hear, you know, from time to time people will say, and when we ask for testimonies, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful that God's mercies are new every morning. What is it? How does it help you knowing that God's mercy is there every morning? How does that help you? Okay. It means it helps me to understand the permanence of my salvation. What else? There. Yeah, good. Yeah. You know, God's merciful, and He's not holding all that stuff from yesterday against me. I might be beating myself up over it, but God isn't. Right? God is good. God doesn't do that. Good. Yeah. It sure does. You know, who's the one who wants you to remember your past? Satan. Not God. God is not the one trying to beat you down. And you remember what you did? You remember? Remember what? God's not the one doing that. God is merciful. A merciful God wouldn't do that. Holiness? That God's holiness is not changing. How can that help us? Yeah, again, it's exactly the trust factor. Listen, God is never... He cannot, it's impossible for Him to decree or do or attempt anything that's evil or corrupt in any way. It's He's only pure. and we got to trust Him that everything He does is right, holy. Love. Well, I like how somebody put this years ago, was an encouragement to me, said there's nothing you can do. Okay, since there's nothing you did to make God love you, there's also nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. His love is unchanging. That's far different from the world's version. Oh, you did that to me? Well, fine. Right? God loves us in an unchanging fashion. And there's nothing you can do to make Him change that. Now, you could do some things that'll put you out of fellowship for a time, right? Not lose your salvation, just be out of fellowship. But there's nothing you can do to make Him stop loving you. Okay, how about forgiveness? God's forgiveness always is available, right? It never changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Isn't it kind of our human nature to look back and we think, well, since man has progressed so far over thousands of years, we've kind of like gotten beyond the God of the Old Testament. You know, we've advanced. I wonder if God's keeping up. Well, folks, God's got nothing to keep up with, right? God knows the end from the beginning. God knows all the technological advances. God knows what's going to be happening another 6-10,000 years from now, if that would be the case, that he would prolong the world that long. We're not outmaneuvering God here, right? God hasn't changed. Forgiveness. God knew from the creation of the world, God knew what you would do. And he still loved you, still sent Jesus to die for you. He still chose to forgive you. There's nothing you can do that will alter that. There's no sins that we can commit that are too big for God to forgive, right? That ought to give us real comfort, real help. Quickly, a couple more. Power. It's never diminishing. It's unlimited. The promises of God, they're unchanging. They will all come to pass. They will all be fulfilled. And as somebody mentioned this morning in our praise time, we have read the last chapter of the book. We know who wins. And it's a settled thing, right? It's settled in heaven. I mean, it's a done deal. We know how this ends. God is kind. He desires to help us and bless us. He desires to do good for us. And this is the last one that I'm putting up there. There's more we could go over. I just don't have time. Just God is perfectly righteous all the time. All wrongs will be dealt with. They may not be dealt with here on this planet, but they will all be dealt with. And there's a degree of comfort in that too. Okay, we'll close Malachi 3:6 there, finally, at the end. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. By the way, it's kind of a little bit of a dark side to the last half of that verse, but what does that mean? Could someone tell me, like, what's basically being said there? For I, the Lord, do not change, therefore you are not consumed. What's he basically saying to them? Think of it in a parenting situation. Because you're my child and I love you, that's why I'm not going to kill you, okay? You have messed up and messed up and messed up, but it's because I'm your parent and I love you, I'm not going to kill you. Well, people failed God. Israel failed God repeatedly. And it's because he made a covenant with them. He made a promise. And he said, it's because I don't change. That's why you're not consumed. Because they deserved punishment. But this is, again, God is so good in his unchanging character that even when we deserve it, he's not. I mean, since you've been saved, have you done things that still deserve severe punishment? Absolutely, right? We still sin all the time, but yet here we are still alive. Mostly in relative good health. We're still getting far better than we deserve. For I, the Lord, do not change. Tozer said, what peace it brings to the Christian's heart to realize that our Heavenly Father never differs from himself. In coming to him at any time, we need not wonder whether we shall find him in a receptive mood. You ever wanted to go to your parents and you're wondering, well, are they in a good mood today? You know, when you think back when you were young. We never do that with God. God never changes moods or cools off in his affections or loses enthusiasm. His attitude towards sin is now the same as it was when he drove out the sinful man from the Eastward Garden. And his attitude toward the sinner the same as when he stretched forth his hands and cried, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God will not compromise, and he need not be coaxed. In all our efforts to find God, to please him, to commune with him, we should remember that all change must be on our part. True, good statement. All change must be on our part. Okay, let's pray. God, we thank you for the study this morning. We do give you our humble praise at what a great God you are. Help us to go through our days with greater confidence and trust in you, that you are perfect, you are all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, you have no need of anything. We pray, God, you'd help us trust you, depend on you. Help us to spread the good news about what a good God you are to our friends and family. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.